Next item.
Barbie.
Okay.
Sorry, you have to lose track of the outcomes. Okay, we're on item 13, budget priorities item. Okay, so this item is a continuation of the information sharing and discussion that we're having for our organization's budget and priorities that we started last board meeting in January. And our intent with this item is just to clarify and provide additional opportunities for you all to provide input on the current budget priorities, as well as to provide you foundational information so you can contribute to future budget requests and acquisition and distribution of new resources. I want to go over what's in your packet because we sent you some late items. So I want to make sure you should have a staff report that was sent to you. The same staff report was put in paper version in your folders. And that should have the 8 attachments to the item. The correct 8 attachments to the item. With it. Okay. In addition, we gave you a handout that was just to help sort of cheat sheet because we have multiple different acronyms and terminology that we used for program descriptions. So we just made a table that rounded out the program descriptions a little bit more so that you could refer to that if you wanted to about any particular program and evaluate the information. But yeah, there's copies in the back of all these things for anybody that's. I just have a very few slides that I thought would just help go through this. Yeah, call your attention to the important parts of the staff report. And I see Michael that he's going to, I think, move back. I see you waving. Okay, you can go to the next slide. Thanks. Okay, this is attachment 1 of Google. Let me back up and just say, I was not going to review 3/4 of the staff report is same information that we provided in January with a few comments based on the discussion or outcomes of the discussion that we had in January. So I'm really just going through the sort of new information that's provided since January, which starts in the section on future considerations for budgets and priority in your staff report. Okay, so this was just attachment 1. We provided it to you in January. It summarizes our programs and just tells you what the current resource allocation in personnel years, which is the number of staff people working in that program. And then we have a couple notes that indicate for you the programs where we've assigned resources that were not budgeted specifically for that program activity, where we've had discretion amongst our fund sources to do so. Okay. Next slide. The purpose of these slides is just to organize in order what we're talking about. Obviously, it's kind of hard to read, but you can use your handouts. This is your attachment 2A. That's a table of programs on the left. And priorities, columns of priorities going across the top. We just put an X in the box where we felt the program addresses one of those 6 priorities. And this is not researched information and conclusions with a lot of input from stakeholders or science. This is a few staff people taking a stab at it just for the sake of sparking your thoughts about that and for future conversations and consideration. And then at the bottom two rows shows you the current resources in percent of our total resources that addresses each of our six priorities. So the first box after current resources says 36. So that says 36% of our resources are targeting our priority of human health protection. And then the last line tells you the percent of resources needed based on our assessment of where we could improve and be doing better at addressing that priority. And Harvey, help me out if I don't get this right, but the bottom line is not an exact number of resources, it's just relative to the other priorities.
Yes, in fact, both of those lines, those percentages are not percentages of actual or of our total budget. Normalized percentages of the total sum for that priority, if that makes sense.
No.
Okay. Think of it as relative numbers to each of the priorities rather than the exact number, rather than the exact percentage. So more resources, more resources address human health, 36 is the number. Compared to what's the last groundwater source?
Yes.
Okay. On the right.
If you add up all of our resources, it would be 100%. And so what we're saying is that all of our resources that are working on the number one priority, the human health, 36% of all our resources have to do with working on that priority.
So that line adds up to 100% if you go from left to right.
Yes.
Correct.
But the one underneath it is a different one, but it's also stated in percentages.
Right. It also adds up to 100 left to right.
And then that adds up to 100% too.
Right.
So.
Go ahead.
I think my confusion is you're saying resources, but the table says programs. We're talking about programmatic resources. Am I correct?
Correct.
What's a resource? Yeah. But organized by priority. Right.
We've never done that before.
Which are the five columns.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So I just wanted to be clear on what resources yes. you're talking about.
Do you want us to hold questions?
I'm fine with doing it this way. There's not very many slides. It's up to you.
I think it may be easier to ask the questions as you see fit, because if we hold last, it may become a little confusing of having to go back to table, etc. So feel free. All right, thank you for asking. Okay, sure. So Monica asked, we're talking programmatic, and you kind of said yes. So are we talking positions? So 36% of our positions go to human health. 30% of our workload, our work months, go to human health. Okay. Then the resources needed, let's talk about human health. It says 22% needed, 36% current. Does that mean that we're over applying our current resources to resources needed, or does that mean we need 22% more than we've got now?
It's really it's not a very precise number. What it means is if we added up all the resources that we think we're over based on the way we're moving resources around, every time we move positions from one fund to another, that's it's needed according to this. So if we add all those up and then we categorize it by priority, this is the percentage. So of all the resources that we needed identified in this calculation, we did 22 of them fall in the area of human health, 22%.
So can I give you an example? This might help illustrate it. So we are budgeted for approximately, these are not exact numbers, I'm rounding up or down, approximately 2 personnel years to implement our irrigated agricultural regulatory program.
Approximately what?
2. Correct. We spend approximately 8. So we have redirected funds from other programs to round out and be able to implement our irrigated agriculture regulatory program. the difference, 6, is an example of what we're using as resources needed when we're talking about a budget process to have get budget and resources aligned with our priorities and our programmatic needs. So that's not going to help you understand the 22%, but that's where the combination of numbers that then goes with each of these priorities comes from. So most of that, in this case, if you look at the program side, is the needs associated with the irrigated ag regulatory program.
So that's hard to track because I suppose the irrigated ag need crosses human health, aquatic habitat, etc.
Okay. In fact, it crosses all 5 priorities.
Yes. So can you give me an example that for this table explains resources needed and current resources?
I'm sorry, what was that? Well, I don't have a question.
I'll just rephrase to be simple and save time. I don't know if we want to add 36 plus 22, or if these are not meant to be added.
They're not meant to be added.
So then the 22 is, of the resources that we don't have but we still need, 22% of them would apply to human health priorities.
Right. I'm going to show you a couple other charts briefly after these. And what I'm going to tell you then, but I'm going to tell you now, so it'll be really obvious when we get done with these. The most important thing to see about resources needed is that the numbers are similar. We have resource need in order to address all of our priorities. We are operating under budget if we really need to fully address these priorities.
Well, when you say we're budgeted for 2, but we're using a total of 8, so we're really grabbing 6 from others. But to really do the program right, we need more than 8.
So that's part of future resource evaluation and consideration. We'll talk about the process for that and how you can get involved, and Matt and then what staff is doing about that in a moment.
So before we leave this, what's the difference between 2A and 2B?
Oh, let's go to 2B and then I'll say that's my next talking point. Next slide, please. Oh, sorry, it says 2A up there, but it's 2B. That's my bad on the slide. Top programs, I just reordered them for you in order of, so all the top part of that has the programs that touch on the most, either all 5 of our priorities or subjectively, so it's just my opinion, if they touch the first 3, human health, aquatic habitat, and hydrologic processes, that those are more overlapping of the other 2, seawater intrusion and groundwater salts, whereas those 2 by themselves could be basin-specific and may or may not equally transfer to the others. Again, that's very subjective, and we did this at a very high level, so I'd be happy to reevaluate that and discuss that further another time, but just to give you an idea. So the ones that are on the bottom are just, we would just say programmatically then, are lower priority because they are less aligned as significantly with all of our priorities. And I just want to apologize, in your handout, if you're not looking at the slide, in your handout they're gray, darker for the higher priority and lighter at the bottom, but you can't see that in the way it transferred onto the slide. Okay, next slide.
So this
is the chart that just shows you the relative percentages. It's the same data as was on the bottom row called current resources. And again, it's just showing you that relatively speaking, we spend more resources on human health protection than on the other priorities. And one could say, since it steps down to the right, that that's the right distribution, maybe not in exactly the numbers, but at least in the relativeness of resources assigned by priority. Okay, next slide. Similarly, this now is a chart that shows you the relativeness of resources needed by priority. And again, I'll just say what I said before, that you can see that we have similar resource needs, we believe, we have resource needs that are at about the same level in order to adequately address each of those priorities. So an important point about that is we're not necessarily saying we have the same number of PYs that we think we want to spend to protect human health as we think we need to get after groundwater salts. But wherever we're at with groundwater salts, let's just say 2 people compared to 10. For human health, in both cases, we need 22% more resources to better address those priorities. Next slide. Okay, so that was just data. Now I just want to tell you, talk about process and tell you where we are now and where we're going, and that's why you need 3 or 4 slides to do that. So where we are right now is that all the new resources for fiscal year 2016-2017, which starts July 1 in a few months, have already been made. The only thing left to do is to a little bit of negotiating for distribution of the resources that have been authorized for our agency amongst the regions and state board.
It's really kind of water under the bridge.
Right.
To some degree.
Exactly.
We're really kind of focused on what to do in the next cycle.
Exactly. The state and regional water board directors, chairs, and executive officers are in discussions and have a forum for those discussions to influence and collaboratively determine how to distribute the resources that are already authorized. And the possible new resources that are being discussed for us that we will realize on July 1st include somewhere between 2 to 5 new positions addressing regulation of cannabis cultivation facilities and groundwater site cleanup. Right? And when we know what that is, we'll let you know. Next slide. So where are we going next? So the water board chairs and executive officers throughout the state are involved in a collaborative process. We've had 2 meetings today. Let me back up and just tell you that this grew out of last year's water quality coordinating committee session that you all had in October. And this is the follow-up from when a few chairs got together and said, hey, let's get on this and be ahead of the game for 2017-2018. And we can thank our chair, Dr. Wolf, for being instrumental in that and making sure that this is happening. So we've had a meeting on January 25th and 26th, and then another one on February 1st. And our next one is scheduled for March 29th. And at the moment, Dr. Wolf is scheduled to be there. It's scheduled in conjunction with the next Management Coordinating Committee, which is the meeting of the executive officers. So. The topics that will be discussed include the future budgets and priorities. So regions have already started to say what their individual priorities and needs are, as well as where there is commonality amongst regions on needs. And there are some programs where all the regions agree that each of the regions needs some additional resources, and irrigated ag lands regulatory program is one of those and the top one in that category. We're discussing how to align the resource needs with the highest priority issues and programs. Oh, that's what I just said. Common areas across the state, as well as in some cases, there are some very, very important individual needs for each region, and the opportunity to have that acknowledged is available, and that's how we're doing it. The desired outcomes of these meetings and when the time frame ends for that information to be moved on to the legislature. Now is preliminary agreement on the priority needs, ultimately actual agreement. Preliminary agreement to pursue new resource requests for fiscal year 2017-2018 based on those priorities, and then to identify any steps and actions needed to prepare those requests. Typically, and I expect this round as well, the chairs will then direct the EOs to have their staff participate in contributing to the request, and that goes to directly responding to your comment, Mr. Young, about we will be doing analysis. We've already started it, we have it from previous years, of what the actual resource needs are for those programs to be effective. and fully effective and more efficient as appropriate. Okay, next slide. And just continuing where we're going next is participating in the routine budget process. So the collaborative effort that's on an ongoing basis with the chairs, all the chairs and all their EOs is new, but they are participating and representing their organizations in the same budget process that has been used in the past and continues to be used. There's nothing new about that. So the timing in attachment 5, I think it is, the budget process timing, for example, is the same wheel that's been going around every year now for many, many years. So this is the opportunity for you guys to really understand that and be able to insert and to direct staff to make sure to bring you information at the right times so that we're all in sync with the necessary input points for that process. So there is a current budgeting approach and a governor's policy that has been approved and adopted, and we've all been directed to follow it. And that is, I think, attachment 6? No, 7 and 8? I think it's 7 and 8. Some information about that. But I put the key bullets up on the slide for you, which is governor directed departments and boards to only bring budget requests that maintain a balanced budget, preserve critical state services, pay down state debts and obligations, controls cost and increases efficiency, and refrains from creating new or expanding existing programs. So there's not a lot of support for saying we need more resources in an existing program. But that, nevertheless, we need to evaluate what our needs are and say what our needs are, even if they fit in that category. That was my opinion or suggestion.
Yeah, and one item that is often reviewed in the budget approach is unmet needs also, which is what we're saying we're supposed to do and regulate, but we just can't do it because of lack of personnel. So that's going to be one big item of discussion, is the unmet needs, because kind of, you know, learning in the process that there are certain things that resonate more than others when it goes to the governor's office. So the key is to make sure that these are items that, you know, are kind of a soft spot, correct?
Correct. And actually, an example of that, just to give you a little window in, is there's discussion about the fact that our permitting, waste discharge permitting projects are more complex now because of new kinds of projects, recycled water, advanced waste, advanced treatment for indirect potable use, and in the future potable use, and that could possibly make the case for being an unmet need because we already have authority to issue those permits and staff to issue those permits, but we're running pretty hard and fast to keep up. And that, again, that's something that that's not common to our region. We might have a few more desal projects being a coastal region than the inland regions, for example, but all the regions are having some drought-related or climate adaptation permit complexity or increase that we have to get after. We have to think about at least in budgeting and priorities.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
You highlight on there in blue the link to performance report on the State Board website. It has such performance reports for 8, 9, 9, 10, 10, 11, 11, 12, and 12, 13, but it doesn't have it for 13, 14, 14, or 15. Do you know why?
Oh, maybe I grabbed the wrong link.
No, I think you got the right link just when you go on the state website.
The performance report?
There was no performance report in the last couple of years.
Yeah, they're just behind, I guess, in posting the information. I didn't highlight that particularly. Let me just talk about that bullet for a minute, the broader one, which is considering water board performance. I put that on there just to let you know that that's another new advanced, whatever you want to call it, sophisticated, maybe in my opinion, part of the budget process, because now we have this performance report that all the regions have been contributing common performance outcomes and indicators to, so the opportunity to collectively as an organization review what our performance report, performance status is telling us year to year, can inform what our priorities are, where our needs are.
It's just kind of ironic that it's behind.
Exactly. So, but I will give you some, I want to give you some confidence there, in spite of, I mean, if I'm a member of the public, that's a different issue, because you want to see that information, and you should be able to see that information. But as far as the information that's available to the chairs and the EOs and staff in the budget process, there is some really, I was impressed, there's some good thought going to looking at changes in performance. So an example is inspections, permit inspections, and the extent to which we are accomplishing all of our inspections, and where there's increases or decreases, getting clarity about why. And is it because we're short resources and our permits are too complex if we're short on some inspections? Is it because we're prioritizing certain inspections over other inspections? Are we targeting geographic areas instead of meeting exact numbers and things like that? So that's kind of the nature of it. And I just put the link there to remind you that there is an accounting and a performance report and consistent measures to provide that all the regions use and the state board uses, and that when the reports are updated on the website and available to the public and to any of us in contemplating that issue. I also want to say that it's new to do that, and so there's definitely some mixed opinions about how seriously or how, what's the quality of that data. You know, similar to how we talk about some of our distributors and public input, it's self-reporting, and we set our own targets. So, but everybody's working hard to make it meaningful. Okay, and then just to say, to remind you that what we're talking about is identification of specific priorities to inform budget needs for fiscal year 17. Next, and I think last slide. It's just some recommendations, which is to direct your staff during discussions at board meetings. And I just wanted to suggest that you consider at least asking for two budget items at these key points in the budget cycle. So October is when all of our performance tracking and measurement from the previous fiscal year. So October 2016 is the best time for us to pull together any outcomes and assessment of our work through June 30th, 2016. So if there's any efforts, if we bring you a representation of that, then it's the opportunity to you to get input on the review of priorities and performance and any direction on adjustment to priorities, programs, projects, or how we use our resources for the past year. And then January 2017 would be an ideal time to provide input to refining priorities and performance, suggesting any adjustments we might want to make, and how we might then influence and input that to the following year. Fiscal year 18-19 budget cycle. And then in October, oh, I said 2017, I should have said 2016, but I'll recommend the same thing for 2017. But this October, there will be another water quality coordinating committee meeting. And to the extent there are any of those types of state level meetings, including the ones that the chairs and EOs are participating in now, then those are opportunities to collaborate with other regional water boards, the State Water Resources Control Board, and to collectively evaluate priorities to input to the following budget cycle. So essentially, there's a few opportunities that come in the fall. By January, February, March, we'll want to have some clarity about where we're going. And that's it. Take any questions?
Yeah, I was going to mention that we started a little bit last year, but we also have more direct communication chair to chair. So we pick up a phone and talk to each other. Not think we've done much of that in the past. And it's more, you know, in general, talking about you know, some of our local issues, look for commonalities. And, you know, the reason is that when working then with the state board, when we're looking at budgets and priorities, we have a better understanding mutually of what the key issues are. So, for example, with the EO and chair meeting coming up in a couple of weeks, you know, we're already pretty engaged, so it's not, you know, starting with a blank depth chart and say, okay, you know, these are some of the key priorities, pick the teams you want to be in with your EO and address those. For example, our region would be with the irrigated ag team, and will be also with the enforcement team, and all this with ideas of looking at what kind of resources we need, and that will help us being a little bit more engaged in the budgeting process. So it's, you know, it's a beginning, so I'm sure we'll have to tweak things. Felt a little awkward when, you know, we had 3 or 4 hour phone call with all the chairs and all the EOs, but it actually worked out pretty well. I mean, we were able to get things done.
Can I add something that I meant to tell you during this report that
sure.
you just reminded me of? There's a similar process at the program roundtables now. Again, that's not new, but I think it's evolved to be a better process in the last couple of years. So our program managers sit with other program managers and provide a lot of the data and information through their own organizations, as well as across and between each other, so that the requests are somewhat normalized. The needs then, as they come forward, are more robust because all the staff that work in the programs have provided insight and input into, you know, what we can get done with one person versus two versus eight, and when they think that that's how many they need. It's a kind of a way to ground truth. So our the math, if you will, the calculation of the resource needs is much better than it was in the past. We're doing a little bit more guesswork for what we needed. We still have that issue when it's a new program because we don't know, so we do our best to compare it to similar programs. But for programs like the existing programs where we think we need more resources, like the irrigated lands program, there's a really the group of staff have thought hard and have a lot of good sort of cost factors and ways to approach that. So.
I have a question. Most of this is about 18-19, fiscal year 18-19. And in the staff report on this item, it talks about where we are now is at the beginning planning for the 17-18 budget, which is more important to me because it's in the future, but it's not a year and a half in the future. It's, well, I guess it is a year and a half in the future, right? Because we're just coming up to 16-17, which is water under the bridge. So 17-18 is a little bit more relevant to me than 18-19 as far as being able to imagine. So my question is, in this, where we are now in the current state budget timeline, is there room for our region to try to make some adjustments for what we need as far as either the total number of positions or the distribution of positions so that they're arranged more similar to where the resource current need is?
So maybe I confused you. But most of this information is for this fiscal year 17-18, not 18-19. That slide just has that one point when we're at this point next year, then we're planning for 18-19. But at this point right now, we're planning for 17-18.
Okay, so is there time in this calendar year to be making changes between now and the approval of the 17-18 budget that can rearrange our position distribution or add new positions if we're able to ask for new positions?
Potentially to add, rearranging the distribution, there is some discretion and flexibility to do that amongst the current resources, really any time. I don't recommend that we change it every board meeting, but
so for instance,
we can have that dialogue. With,
for irrigated ag,
yeah.
You know, we're stealing from somewhere else, and instead of stealing from somewhere else, can that be redistributed so it's no longer stealing, that's just where it goes? Or are there mandates where we're sort of tweaking the mandate in order to get by?
Okay, so let me clarify something. It's on your handout attachment. It doesn't know, let me just tell you. The resources that we're mostly talking about, when we just have these, when it just says resources on all these graphs, are the waste discharger permit fee funds. And there are allocations with, that's multiple programs, every permit program, because we charge fees for our permits, all those funds roll up for various permitting and planning activities. And we're authorized to use them for all those activities, for any and all of those activities. In addition to that, we're budgeted programmatically for a certain percentage of that based on the discharger fees that come in for each program. But what we've done is, as much as possible, is we've taken positions that are funded with that same fund with authorization and allowed to, we're not messing with any mandate, and just redirected them to our highest priority work. There are other funds that we use to complement some of that work or for completely other things that are mandated for other things. So like federal funds, Clean Water Act funds, some of them have to be used for MPDS permits. They cannot be used for waste discharge requirements for irrigated ag, for example.
So in the irrigated ag example, where we're not at the outset given, so we have to move things around, is that totally within our purview every year to do that internally, or do we have to get state board approval of that rearrangement?
I don't know if we really have to get approval, but it's known that we're doing it, and recently State Board has finally organized a documentation effort and sent spreadsheets to all the regions and said, tell us exactly where you are redirecting resources at what level. That's where the information on that first attachment one came from. And what I want you to know about that is most of the regions where it says, for us, we call it current resources because we've been doing it that way for a couple of years. And again, with authorization, but without a formal way to document that looks the same as how other regions are considering it or documenting it. So in other words, there was a column on the spreadsheet that we sent to State Board that said something like resources needed or desire to be redirected, or I can't remember what the title is, next to the current budgeted resource column. So for irrigated ag program for us, it said 2 in the currently budgeted and 6 in the resources needed, but then we made another column and added them because they're all, that for us, that's already the resources that we're actually working and have been working for that program. But for some regions, for a lot of regions, they're asking for, or they're demonstrating the desire to move the resources to these other programs they haven't done yet.
If I may interject, you know, there, to supplement, you know, this is clarification, there is an implicit flexibility provided with take by adjusting from each program, with the understanding that sometimes you gotta react to the situation. For example, drought was one where they had to reprioritize a lot of things. Where you took the example of Cambria, you know, all of a sudden we took probably almost 6 positions on and off in working on it. So it is an understanding, and that is one area where with the 2017-2018 budget, we would like to avoid having to take from one end to the other end in order to make a whole. And so what we're doing in a more formalized way of saying, hey, this is what we need for this program. Help us get the fund for it. Now the key here is that, you know, certainly State Board say, okay, I agree with this, but ultimately this has to be funded through the legislature. So what we're working together with all the chairs is to kind of build a critical mass on key items, so it's not well, you know, region three wants this, and out of all the regions within the state, so we're trying to build up our cases for, you know, the various program. You know, the agency is now fee-based, so it's not like there is a general fund pot of money where you can, you know, take from. A little bit, I'm sure within, you know, as being mayor of the city, you have a budget, and, you know, once in a while you get to adjust things a little bit in order to be able to still accomplish what you got to do, so.
So since I've been here, the irrigated land has always had a two in one column, but we're really using six positions. And so in the 17-18 budget, are those discrepancies going to be merged so that we only have one column showing irrigated land six?
Well, that's what we don't know yet. That's 17-18. We don't know yet. That's up to the legislation
and
the governor.
That's a goal.
Right. But we can make a request.
Right now, we're arranging it internally so that it's getting six the last few years. But then there's this other column saying, really, it's only funded for two. We're stealing from these others. So it's just least, for me, it's more confusing. But I see the same pattern every year. And so my question is, if it's within our purview internally to rearrange things, then short of getting new money for new positions, can we just show what it is instead of showing how we're tweaking things?
Well, we can't do that, because if we do that, then we lose the resource in the other programs that have been allocated.
Actually, I think we're talking semantics. Okay. For all intents and purposes, we're doing what you're talking about. I'm just talking about spreadsheets and how you organize the information, but the bottom line is we have eight people that work on irrigated ag lands targeting human health protection, aquatic habitat protection, improvement of hydrologic processes, and all the various priorities, which is why we assign more resources there. And there's other programs that have less people working on them now, but we believe that that's lower priority work relative to what's most important.
And one of the things we're trying to do also is to see how we can bring more scientific aides who can, you know, part-time students, who can do the data entries, which then free up time to the more senior staff to be able to perform, you know, the higher level type of activity. So that's another area where we're trying to move things around, and we have three part-time positions.
No, we have eight or ten.
Oh.
We've had scientific aid.
Yeah, there were three additional ones that we were interviewing.
No, those were replacing positions we already had. There's one brand new one, which is because Dr. Wolf got someone in Sacramento to give us another one. I just want to say one thing. This is a good news story, even though we are resource short, because your staff has, by targeting priorities and becoming very nimble and being able to move resources from where we have discretion, we're very knowledgeable about where we can to where we can, and we just do it. And we're not doing anything inappropriate or other than not getting to everything. And we're always nowadays, everybody's short-staffed in government for all the complexity of needs and all the work. Yes, we'd like to be monitoring every single well in our region and investigating and inspecting every single site and property around every point that we found any water quality impact and surface water and groundwater, but we don't have enough people to be every place all the time. But we go where we need to go, and we implement these programs as best we can with the resources that we have, and we continue to make the case where we think that we're just not serving public the environment by not being able to get to those other activities.
Okay, since I love beating a dead horse, if you look at attachment one and it says total positions currently assigned, and you go to irrigated, it says 7.6, parentheses, includes positions borrowed from other programs. So if we're borrowing from other programs every single year, what is the point? Is it a legal point that we need to keep saying that we're borrowing it, or can we just say 7.6 positions and forget that we're borrowing them because we're never paying them back, so why do we keep saying that? Or is it required or somehow beneficial to always be leaving that footnote.
Okay. I think I really understand your question. It depends what document we're using and what the purpose of the discussion is. For the purposes of this discussion with you, we can now just say we have 7.6 positions implementing our irrigated ag lands regulatory program. But in the formal administrative budget documents that the state board retains for whatever reporting, auditing, and accounting business that they do on our behalf, there's a line that says there's 2.2 PYs for irrigated agriculture, and then there's some other money that's for non-point source pollution control, and then there's some other money that's for waste discharge requirements, and then there's some other money that's for surface water monitoring, and there's some other money that's for groundwater monitoring. Does that make sense?
Yes, and even though there's those other monies for those programs, we have the discretion not to spend it for what it's given to us, but to spend it irrigated instead.
I would say it differently. We have discretion to target it in the geographic area or functionally where it is most needed. The resources that pay for Karen Lister to do regional monitoring are for monitoring water quality, period. We could be putting most of that money into one or two watersheds and running a different kind of monitoring program, but we've chosen to do it with our ambient monitoring program and the special studies that we do. So, and to help design specific monitoring programs for highest priority programs like the irrigated ag regulatory program and the cooperative monitoring program, for example. And that example for surface water.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so let me pile on to the general first, but I think I'm understanding also, and this is what I've always understood, is that those programs often overlap, and you have the discretion to say where irrigated lands program comes into waste discharge requirement renewal of the permit. Now you're going to see some significant overlap as we approach that preparation, that rolling into the next permit cycle. So you're dedicating people from different programs to support what's going on with irrigated lands, correct?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And that, if you think about it, 10 years ago, or 12 years ago, we did not use a permit to regulate irrigated ag, but we still did activities, non-point source pollution control activities, assessment activities, and monitoring activities, and outreach and education, and other and grants, and other things that we were funded to do and authorized to do to address the same pollution problems and the same water quality impacts as we are now addressing with a permit, which also gives the benefit of additional funds that are generated for that exact purpose.
And if I may add, particularly with the irrigated ag, we have, and I have had direct discussions with Tom Howard and Steve Moore, where their question was, okay, you have now a few years behind the belt with the ag order, you know, where do you see, you know, the amount of time it takes to administer and regulate that program? And, you know, so now are you being more efficient, so you need less people, or are you, you know, you're okay, or do you need more? So this is why the time is perfect right now, because we can demonstrate, well, we were at our infancy now, you know, we know enough about the program to be able to calibrate more accurately how much time it really takes. Because anytime we have a new program, as Lisa said correctly, there's a little bit of an indicator, yes, how much time it's going to take. And, you know, sometimes you can overshoot or you undershoot. So that's another part of the conversation, because now we have specific backup, you know, to say, this is what it takes. And when we renew or when we move to the next generation, is it going to take less time, the same amount of time, or more time? So that's what we're engaged right now. And, you know, we have a listening ear. The key for us is to be able to, you know, demonstrate and document, you know, how much time it takes. And we see the same issue as Lisa pointed out, to other programs, for example, regionalization of water treatment. All those things take time. And we do it, but it comes from somewhere. So we're constantly juggling things around, but on the big items, you know, that's where we see we need to be able to get more resource. And that's why we included enforcement too, because we do not have sufficient staff resource, not lack of their willingness to, you know, to perform some of these activities.
Well, I recall back in Watsonville 1 or 2 years ago, Michael Thomas did a great job of showing us a line below which there was a long list of tasks that we're mandated to do that we can't do because we don't have enough people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really good to see what we're not doing and that we could share with everybody else, like at the state board, you know, and with EPA. EPA mandates that we're not fulfilling because we just don't have the people. So when I want to ask, when further discussions happen with Tom Howard and other state boards, even board members, how's irrigated ag doing? Do you need more? Do you need less? Are staff working on a punch list that we could respond to that question with the answer being, well, if we had two more positions or whatever, we would do these tasks that aren't getting done with the irrigated ag worker. And if we stay current, then we wouldn't do those. So then Tom and Steve and other board members can say, well, those are things we really want to see you do. So, okay, we'll take you down this far. Looks like that would take you two positions. We can afford two positions, and we get down to some of these really important things that you're not doing now. You know, moving in that direction, we'll be able to sell the need with specifics of unmet needs.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I described the process of the program roundtables, for example, that's a big part of what they're doing. Individually, the regions are bringing their punch lists, and then they're collaborating on trying to compare notes and trying to normalize the amount of resources. You know, there's uniquenesses in the region, so not every program is implementing or what one PY can do in one region versus another with different regulatory tools and different watersheds, et cetera, stakeholders. It's not necessarily the same, but at least then we're bringing exactly different ways to display that kind of data.
In a higher level of engagement, both at the EO level and also at the chair level, where before, you know, the chairs were not involved in budget running, not because of their own doing, that just was not part of the process. So we've thought that there's a need to, you know, be a little more engaged and leverage, you know, the resource of the chairs as another voice to help the EOs, you know, make their case. And so this is the first year where actually, you know, the chairs had access to the entire budget. You know, we, before that, didn't really know how many personnel here we had in other regions for specific programs. You were sort of your own little islands, and everything was going to Sacramento, and then we'd come back, okay, this is your budget, good luck. So I think, like you said, it's exciting because, you know, it's a bit of a paradigm shift on how the budgets are being developed. It's more work. You know, it's a lot more time consuming if you look at all the different deadlines and, you know, what we go through. But I think ultimately we'll get there. So unfortunately, you know, you're not going to see as board members, you know, the results this year. But we're certainly positioning ourselves to be able to make some of those corrections that you're referring to, you know, in the upcoming budgets.
And I want to repeat something I said at the last board meeting, which is I hadn't realized it until the January meeting that we used to bring our performance report of our performance indicators relative to our priority projects and have that dialogue with you at least annually, the board members, not obviously some of you are newly on the board, so we haven't done that. So it really occurred to me listening to you ask all these questions that that you didn't know and couldn't have known that we're doing a lot of this routinely, and we have all this information, and we, you know, some of it is confidential when it's offered up to Sacramento during the budget process, so we can't talk about the specifics, but But my recommendation is to have these regular forums two or three times a year. We'll start to provide you with the insight along the way and the information along the way that you need to be able to see this whole picture and trust that that's what's happening and what the basis of it is, what kind of criteria are we using, and whether or not we're successful in making those cases at state level or not.
So. Well, I know staff is usually way ahead of me, but I just wanted to ask because I didn't know. Thank you.
That's a totally appropriate question. Have any other questions? Are you done?
Nope.
Okay, so
thank you.
October 24th.
Thank you.